Rothschild and Storr. They're wandering around, and it's obvious what the problem is. And then you heard an announcement. You have a little girl in a blue dress. You don't know the name, but she says she wants her mommy. Or maybe there was a time when you were lost or felt lost. When Christ in this parable is talking about being lost. But to whom is he talking? The scribes and the Pharisees were disturbed over Jesus' association with the publicans and the sinners. So much so that they were murmuring against him. After all, there was nothing that repulsed the grossly sinful Pharisee more than a gross sinner. And so Jesus tells them a parable, the parable of the lost sheep. The shepherd, upon losing a sheep, goes and searches for it. He leaves the 99. These publicans and sinners were the lost sheep. Moreover, all people are lost sheep. But when we first read this parable, we sometimes come to a different conclusion. Jesus closed with these words, "I tell you that in the same way there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." You see that this parable is talking about those who are lost. We're fine. So we must be one of the 99 righteous ones that need no repentance. We fall into this carefully laid trap, and now we're lost in self-righteousness. And believe it or not, that puts us in the same camp as the Pharisees. Ironic, isn't it, that Jesus would make such a statement? Nowhere in the world are the 99 righteous ones who need no repentance. Yet the Pharisees thought they were the 99 righteous ones. They no longer recognized their sin. They no longer examined themselves. They believed that they had reached the place where they were leading an authentic, God-like life. We think that way about ourselves at times. We've conquered those good sins. Now we need less repentance than we used to need. And yet, maybe that's true. But when we conclude that we've conquered those good sins in our own mind, and when we come to a place that we think that we need less repentance, we have the Pharisee attitude. We have not reached the pinnacle of sinlessness. We have reached the utter depth of self-righteousness. And we're left. Need we not repent of our anger with our spouse, our selfishness, our ingratitude, our neglect of the study of God's word and prayer, of our own self-righteousness? Of course we must. Would the self-righteous Pharisees beyond the reach of God's mercy and grace? No, absolutely not. Even Saul the Pharisee was not beyond the reach of God's grace and mercy. The key word in this text is the word until. God's mercy and love reaches out for us until it finds. He finds us. Indeed, it begins with repentance. But we can't even do that on our own. God's word worships and accuses us of sin. And it comes to a place where we have an attitude of despair and shame. All of chapter 15 in Luke's gospel talks about repentance. The final story is that of the prodigal son, as he returns in shame and despair to the father. The story could have ended there. The father could have rejected the son. The shepherd should forget the lost sheep. but it doesn't mean there, because God's attitude toward us does not end there. It just begins. For our shepherd gave up his life for the sheep. He took our punishment, he carried our sins. What a beautiful picture of the shepherd carrying the lost sheep home on his shoulders. It's called for the joy. And so the Savior comes to us with his word, repent and believe the gospel. Repentance that ends in despair and remains in despair is nothing to regret about. But Luke here is talking about repentance in the broad sense. That is the whole conversion process. The death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ as a sacrifice for our sins. And the Holy Spirit working in our hearts the faith to believe. And when this happens, the rejoicing goes on. Even when the problem is self-righteousness, repentance and belief in Jesus Christ will overcome. What's his message to those who come to him with a repentant heart? Well, it's not that of work righteousness. He does not say to us, I'm glad you repent, now do better or else. And it's not that of modern theology that says, I will give you a more authentic existence, whatever that means. No, it's a message that we as Christians have to hear over and over and over again. It's the most important word we can hear. I forgive you all your sins. He knows we will stray again. He knows we will become lost in our own self-righteousness. But we have his promise already in Ezekiel. And he tells us, as the shepherd seeks out his flock, in the day that he is among the sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered. The Lord will search us out even in the desolate existence of those self-righteousness. As the lost child is reunited with his parents in the store, is rejoicing and comfort. As we are found by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there is cause for rejoicing and comfort. You see, Jesus is running the biggest lost and found in the world. We're very good at getting lost, and he's very good at finding us. He loves us, he forgives us. Remember his word, fear not. For I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, you are mine. Amen.